DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast, the show that is the definition
of grab it by the pussy.
It's locker room talk, bro. It's locker room talk. I am James.
That's why you guys are all naked and fucking
it's hot
hanging
here.
Brain.
No, fuck. It's we're naked
wieners
because...
out.
Did you say wieners
dicks out
up or wieners
Rome,
out?
Wieners out.
Wieners up and out. Okay, I am James.
And I am Bryce.
And with us is the lead guitar player for a band, probably the best band you've never heard of.
Ha!
It's Dan from Herkimer. How's it going, bud?
Doing just fine. Happy to be on the show yet again. Hopefully
fantastic.
I don't seize out your tech, you know.
Oh, you've already started.
Wow.
We're having mic issues. Dan's mic didn't work. It wasn't powered enough, so now he's sharing my mic, and that sounds terrible. Bryce is going to be the only one who sounds good, and the reason is... he's in the other room.
We can't see him. Wonderfully smooth voice.
He's in a bunker.
Yep. Got the lead wall with
I'm
the
getting ready
window.
For November, goddammit.
You're going to be fine. Yeah, exactly.
Waiting for those fucking missiles to fly.
Oh, my God. No, I guarantee you, within a year, if he wins, it's going to be World War III. It's going to be Fallout for real.
Yeah. I was just thinking of that fucking song. I just want to set the world on
little
fire.
Ink spots action.
It's bad. Honestly, though, he's torpedoing his own campaign so bad that I really feel like our worries are for naught.
Yes.
But you know, it ain't over till it's over.
I got to be honest with you, though. It's like the more that I hear about the election coming up and the more I see people's posts online... I gotta tell you, I'm genuinely terrified that people are not going to vote for Trump, but they're also not going to vote for Hillary.
Well, here's the thing about
which
that.
Which means that they're technically going to be voting for Trump with their throwaway vote, and it's like, ah!
Yes and no. The thing about people who are writing in or voting for a third-party candidate...
Oh, yeah, Gary Johnson already shot himself. He's done.
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah. If you do vote for a third party... it will eventually make third parties be able to get more money so they can get more viable candidates.
I agree with having more selection, but this is not really the election I think that they need to be pushing.
No, exactly. But
this is the one that if you are against Trump, you should really vote for Hillary so that there is not a chance. Yeah.
See, I was going to write in Big Jim for president.
Hell yeah.
And then... I realized that the Big Jim we know is not the only Big Jim in the world, and there'd be a lot of confusion about which Big Jim. this really is, unfortunately, and I hate saying this, but this really is the election that you have to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Yep.
And I wouldn't even say that Hillary's an evil.
Well,
I think
this
she's...
is really interesting because I just watched Last Week Tonight
Fox
with John
News.
Oliver, and he broke down, like he really broke down,
Fox
like
and friends.
The
Fox and
all
friends.
All of the Hillary scandals that are actually not scandals at all,
yeah.
Right?
Like they're the, not great.
There's a
the
there's
classified
a...
emails that weren't classified
yeah.
until after
yeah.
they were lost.
It,
yeah.
And,
yeah,
and the way he put it is like it's. Not good.
Yeah.
No.
But it's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, then she owned it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. When was the last time any politician owned what they did wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just blatantly came out and said, I took some bad advice that was on me. I made a mistake.
Yep.
I give her brownie points for that alone. And
move on.
That, you know, she's got the two more points than Trump's negative numbers.
Well, and the thing is Trump just keeps shooting himself in the foot with everything that comes out of his mouth. And Bryce is drinking his go-go juice.
Good morning, sunshine.
I wish there was liquor in here.
We can make
well,
that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be done.
I know that we have the technology.
Right?
I do know that.
It won't cost you $6 million either.
We can make it bigger, better, and stronger.
Yeah, this is, I mean, we're coming up on the third and final debate this week.
Yay.
As you can see, Mr. Trump's in today.
I'm going to build a wall. It's going to be the greatest.
It's going to be huge.
We're going to make Mexico pay
the
for
most
it.
I'm going to grab him by the pussy.
It's going to be the most bestest.
We're
going to
grab Canada by the pussy, build another wall, and make them pay for it,
too. Just locker room talk. Just locker room.
Shh. You know, guy talk.
I'm just on this gossip news station, not thinking that they would have cameras and microphones on. Just saying.
I did not know I was on a podcast. I could not see the microphones.
Have you guys seen the trending hashtag on Facebook?
I don't do
hashtags. Or not Facebook, Twitter.
Fistbook?
Fistbook.
Fistbook. That sounds like a hardcore porn dating site, you know.
It's the metal Facebook.
I like it. We should run with that.
But it has been repeal the 19th.
Repeal the 19th?
Yeah.
Did you see the New York Post letter to Trump's campaign about retracting that story?
Yeah.
That was the most epic stand-up thing they've ever done. It's like, we didn't say anything libel because he said this all before. We're just reporting things that have come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
So we're not retracting this.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to take us to court,
go ahead.
Any judge in America is going to tell you the same.
Let's
thing.
Drag it out. Let's air all this.
Well, and that's kind of
I do want to go out and say happy birthday to Tiffany Trump, the best Trump.
The one that doesn't say anything.
The one that is
silent.
The best looking. The one who is the black sheep of the family. The one Trump daughter that Trump would not date.
Questionable.
Which makes her totally dateable
but,
to me.
But
she is totally the black sheep of the Trump family.
So the trending hashtag has been repeal the 19th because there's a website, I think it's 338, I think it is. But they basically they do like polls and they put out numbers for the election and they showed if only women could vote, this is how it would go. And if only men could vote, this is how it would go. So Trump supporters have been hashtagging repeal the 19th to try and remove women's right to vote.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Trump will do that if he gets in office anyway.
Yeah.
That one kind of leaves
that whole collective
speechless.
Sigh we just all did is just pretty much...
It's sickening. It's fucking sickening.
You know what the worst part about this whole bullshit is? I'll give Trump one thing.
Don't give him any credit.
Oh, no. He has the curse of the silver tongue. He can talk people into walking right off a fucking cliff, and apparently he's doing quite well on that.
No. He can talk stupid people into... Because
I will take
anyone...
that correction, but at the same time, it's like... Unfortunately, the U.S. has a very large demographic of stupid people.
And here's the problem, and here's the thing that I think most people don't get, is this election cycle has really put a spotlight on how bad the American educational system is. Because if the educational system were where it should be,
we would all
Trump would
be
not
an idiot.
Even be you, close to
You mean
candidate.
Abstinence-only sex education doesn't work?
Christ no. in schools.
Blasphemy.
It is this
blasphemy.
Well, let's just go back through this whole thing. Trump wiped out every single viable Republican candidate by bullying them. He
who
did
would
not
you
have
guys
policy.
Have rather seen as the Republican nominee?
Honestly, the one who made the most sense of all of those, as dangerous as he was Cruz. I know, it sucks, but...
See, I personally...
That guy was hardcore policy. He was talking policy right up
because he's a politician. He knows what he's talking about.
Right.
However, the policies would have enacted would have been very dangerous.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing.
I would...
he had the strongest
he had the,
chance.
He had the most likelihood. I'm asking, who would you have rather seen?
I think the candidates I would have liked to see make it... to this point.
Thunderdome.
Would be Bernie Sanders for the Democrats. And that guy got screwed, and the emails are out there to show that his own party screwed him.
Yeah.
Rubio.
See,
Rubio
I would
versus
say...
Sanders would have been... It would have highlighted policy,
have been a difficult
real change...
For a good reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I always consider myself independent as far as my party leanings.
Yeah.
Because sometimes Republicans have issues and policies that
if
make a
was,
lot of sense.
Yeah, if there was a Republican
that
I agreed with, I would vote for them. If
exactly.
I agreed with them more than the Democrat. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I would have liked to see Kasich.
Kasich would have been a good choice,
because
too.
I think he was the most
He was
centrist,
the last one to drop out, wasn't
he? Was
he?
The most centrist Republican who would have had some potentially bad ideas, but he wouldn't, of all the candidates or the people vying for the nomination, he would not have driven this country into the ground like I think any of the others would have.
All right.
I think the problem is we've yet to have a candidate that is middle of the road. Someone who takes the best ideas from both parties. Someone who can garner the support of both parties. And that's what we need. We need someone who is the best of both. And we're never going to have that because these people are so entrenched. And it was put to me like this. People who are Trump supporters may not necessarily be Trump supporters as much as they are Republican supporters.
Yeah.
And even though Trump is the worst possible, it's about seeing my team win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want the Republicans to win, so I'm voting for Trump,
that
even
dirty
though he is
Democrat in there the last 8 years. Fuck that. We need a Republican back in there to fix all where Obama fucked you.
That's
I hear that
what
far
the hell
too
hell
often.
Is going on
I hear far too often how there's like a large mass of people that I work with who genuinely think that Obama
that we're
did a
worse
terrible,
off than we have been.
Terrible job,
yeah.
And that Trump will be
the,
a better choice.
And those people who
because
say that.
Because he's not a politician.
Those people who say that
don't
that. Know the facts. They won't research the facts. And the fact is that Obama brought unemployment way down.
He brought us out of a recession.
Yeah.
Out of a recession.
Yeah.
He's paid off a lot of our debt.
Yeah.
Got us into the
much like
of universal
Bill
healthcare.
Clinton did. You know, he's gotten us kind of out of war. I mean, we're not as far out as we'd like to be,
yeah.
But the conflicts aren't bad. The biggest issues that are being put forth, and this goes back, and we've said it, Bryce, on this show, I don't know how many times, it's the fear-mongering, and the biggest problem right now is the ISIS threat.
Yep.
And Trump is rallying people against ISIS, even though he has no plan whatsoever.
He's got the greatest plan. ISIS. He talked to the top people, all right? So he knows.
Top men.
Yes. I love that. I love how much he pulls that bullshit out.
My biggest problem with, and I said this, we talked about it on the show before the first debate. My biggest problem with Hillary and the thing that could win her any debate is if she stops lowering herself to Trump and stops egging him on and just talks policy.
She's been...
Just talk policy. Let him just do
She's been doing very well with that.
She kind of lost
especially in the
last
debate, yeah.
Well, she's good at really egging him on
and
letting him self-destruct.
But that's... Exactly.
But
that's the smart
one,
strategy.
She needs to talk policy.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Forget any barbs he might throw her way and just... These are the issues. This is what needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
This is how I plan to do it. He'll go off and do whatever because he's going to try and
detonate
poke holes.
Himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to poke holes in every policy, and she just needs to ignore everything he says and just use this not as a debate but a speech to the American people.
Yeah.
Take this opportunity to say, look, America, we have problems. Undoubtedly. We have a serious problem with class. And I'm going to say class warfare because that's what it is. There is a significant...
Hey, you just didn't pull yourself up hard enough by your bootstraps, all right?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Donald.
Hey, he had a very small loan from his dad, all right?
Yeah, very
and then
small.
A very large inheritance.
That he never paid back.
I've heard that rodeo before. Oh, well, you know, all you need is a small loan from one of your super rich, wealthy relatives, and you'll be just fine. Start your own business.
The biggest lie told to the American people is that everyone has equal opportunity.
Yep.
And that's not true.
No.
That is not true.
Nope.
Because if it were true, Bryce would be on stage in Europe somewhere, wailing on guitar. You'd be one of the biggest rock stars in the world, and I would be the number one radio host in the world.
All right.
That's how it is in my head, anyway.
I'm okay with that.
I mean, it is what it is. We don't have equal opportunity. There are kids who are probably geniuses that will never get to go to college.
Yeah.
Why?
They can't afford
get
it.
The money.
Yeah.
They can't afford
scholarships,
loans.
But that
doesn't cover the education.
There's too many
anymore.
People vying for them.
Yeah.
And sometimes if some parent happens to dedicate enough money for a new building that the school really needs, maybe their kid gets in instead of the one who actually deserves it.
Well, and it goes beyond that too, because when you do finally get into your career of choice, you may not climb the ladder.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you may be the best employee, the most qualified for the position, but Tiffany gives better head.
God bless Tiffany.
It's, you know, we joke, but I mean, that's what it is. It comes down to favoritism.
Oh, yeah. And nepotism and all.
There's all kinds of isms
that lots of isms.
There is no such thing as equal opportunity anymore.
All of the isms.
So, you know, it's a lie.
Yeah.
You know? The American dream has been dead for 30 years.
The worst part about it is the American dream's really been dead at kind of since the day it was inducted. Yeah. The first person who thought of it was just literally dreaming about something better, something more that could possibly happen. It's
there's a reason that
but it there, doesn't.
There's a reason that greed is one of the seven deadly sins, and I would say the deadliest of all.
You know, it's funny. They all kind of wrap around one another.
They really do.
It all kind of sums up to one lifestyle that you could have where you could encumber all the seven deadly sins.
It's basically,
I can't even notice it. Yeah.
It all those seven deadly sins could be pulled into one deadly sin called, we can just call it Trump.
Trump.
Right. Yeah, because he's a glutton for power. Greed.
Duh.
Wrath is how he treats everybody, or at least
everything.
He thinks he does everything.
Lust.
Grabbing it by the pussy is what he do.
Sloth.
Sloth. He's kind of a fat fucker. Envy. He really wants to be the president.
He really wants to be the most powerful man in the world.
He wants to up his brand.
Yeah.
That's all this is a publicity stunt.
And pride.
Duh.
Everything has got the Trump
just
name.
Just, label.
If he made it into the White House, he would change it to the Trump House.
Yeah, probably.
Put a giant toupee on it.
Yeah, just big old rug right up on the roof.
This rug's not shaggy enough.
And it's all natural. I swear, it's all natural.
Just grab it, pull it.
Just give it a good
give it a good yank.
See, my biggest problem is, especially with the debates and whatnot like that, is exactly like what you guys were talking about. You know, if Hillary really wants to hold any kind of good ground, she needs to come out there and just talk about what the fuck she's going to do. Mm-hmm. Now, me personally, aside from the fact that I despise Donald Trump as a person, I think he's a horrible example of humanity. If it weren't him, and it was somebody else going around the same route, but maybe not as stupidly as he was.
Yep.
I genuinely don't give a fat, roasty fuck who's in office. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Liberal, all that bullshit. I don't care. So long as they can do their fucking job. That's all I care about. If they can do the job. He is a celebrity. He is a businessman who has stepped on thousands of people.
A businessman
who is going
failed
to do
upwards.
The same. Exactly, and that's the thing.
Look at his track record and you measure his successes to his failure ratio.
Oh, it's
he's
huge.
Failed a lot more
than
he's succeeded. And when he has succeeded, it's been on the backs of people he's crushed.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like people were talking about, hell yeah, I want a good businessman in office. It's like, no.
No,
you
can't
run a
business.
Country like a business.
Yeah, it's
aside
not.
From that, it's just a matter of how many people do you think he's going to try to, you know, crush, try to push. Try to lean on. And now he's not doing it in a company as a CEO. He's doing it as a leader of a country.
Well, and
he's
also
going to do that to other countries.
He'd be the first president in God knows how long who tries to take away your rights.
Yeah.
Because, as we've said, he's a very envious and prideful man. And you piss him off or you insult him in any way, suddenly
he's
you find yourself in Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
Or as they're calling it, New Guantanamo Bay.
Is that with the water slide?
It's got a palm tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got a palm tree.
The water slide that you go down once. Never again.
It's got blades going right down it. Slide down it. No.
Through the chopper.
Into a pool of lies.
And one of the things that people keep forgetting, too, is while the president has power, they don't have...
It's not a dictatorship.
They're not the ultimate authority.
No, we have a system of checks and balances.
The biggest thing that they can do is they elect
the House
judges to the Supreme Court.
Judges. And
we have one opening, which we shouldn't have.
No, that shouldn't, and that's Republicans forestalling. But,
yeah,
because they were smart. They need to do it.
Yes, they need to do it now because he is the most centrist candidate that's going to be put forth. Because as soon as Clinton gets elected, which is going to happen because it's Trump. She's going to nominate someone who's more liberal.
Yeah.
And they're not going to like it because things are going to go against the way that they want.
Yeah.
And you look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's a bag of dirt that they prop up right now.
Yeah.
She's not going to be around much longer.
Weekend at Ruth's.
Yeah.
Get the reggae music on. She's got to get up there.
But there's going to be several more openings that are going to come up here in the next few years.
Yeah.
There's going to be a potential huge shift in how the laws are interpreted if it is a liberal Supreme Court versus a conservative Supreme Court.
Even more so than that is the Congress issue because there's a lot of seats in Congress. And this... I know there's been a lot of hashtags about term limits for Congress. I totally believe that because Congress has stagnated badly because all these people keep getting reelected because A, there's not a lot of choices, and B, they can't get elected out.
Yeah.
Right.
There needs to be, if there's a term limit for president, there's term limits for governors and things like that, there needs to be term limits
for Congress. There's pros and cons with that. It's like judges, the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
They're nominated. They're not elected.
And that's a life...
Imagine if it was an election process.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to focus on getting reelected. So they're spending a lot of time making calls.
Yeah.
Going to fundraisers.
But here's the thing. If there is a term limit for Congress, that is a con that they have to... Stop
have
and
to redo that.
But if there's only two terms, three terms, and say it's a 2-year term, that means that at most every 6 years you get someone cycled in, and that could potentially take away from Congress constantly upping their salary while ignoring the rest of the country. You get people fresh from each state who knows the problems of that state. Because maybe they've been governor, or maybe they've been, something in public office who knows the state and can bring those problems to Congress instead of constantly staying in Washington and becoming more and more out of touch with what their state needs.
I think they should all be made to do manual labor for 2 years. Just solid, hard...
Before or after?
Before
and after.
So 4 years manual labor.
Yep, 4 years manual labor because that puts a lot of things in perspective for people that have sat on their ass and done absolutely nothing but tell people what to do for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You get your ass down in the dirt, you dig a fucking ditch, you go home with a sore back, and you think, oh, fuck, I still got to go to work tomorrow, too?
Yeah.
This is bullshit. Puts a lot of things in perspective.
Well, and this comes back to the fact that we're looking at two candidates right now for president. One who spent her entire life in the public eye because she's been in public
office.
She's
a politician,
She is. And now, there's a lot of problems with being a career politician, but there's also a lot of good.
There's benefits. She knows how.
She knows how government works.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what I'm at. It's like, I want...
If I'm going in for surgery, say my appendix needs to get taken out.
Oh, Dan can do it for you.
I want somebody who does that for a living.
Versus somebody who just talks a big talk.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll get it out of there, no problem. You won't even have any scarring.
Yeah.
Mind if I grab you by the pussy before I let you go?
Just let me reach around, talk.
You know. Just locker room.
Just locker room.
It's okay.
I think
that's going to be the name of this episode. It's just locker
just
room.
Locker room
talk.
Just locker room talk.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. But I agree, and that's the thing. It's like with Hillary, at least she has government experience.
Yeah.
You know, she's been a politician, and when you're a president, you need to be a good politician.
Exactly. She knows that there's give and take when it comes to governing, versus somebody who only wants their way. That's not how a politician should be.
And that
and I get the fact that Hillary is polarizing. You know, she puts a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Even people in her own party. I don't know her personally. I don't know what it is about her specifically.
You mean you didn't get the invite to the Sunday brunch?
No, I didn't.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Damn it, Bryce. Why'd you have to say that, dude?
Sorry.
You knew
Jerk.
I wasn't invited.
I know that she's...
No James is allowed.
No.
None of them. No
Everybody
James.
Everybody named James, get out.
She's made mistakes. Every politician's made mistakes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when you look
she's,
at the grand...
She's human.
Her mistakes are pretty minor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they're made such a big deal of because, A, she's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And
woman.
She's just... Woman.
For president.
There are a lot of things... She's not... She's not well-liked among her peers, her political peers, for whatever reason. And it could be that she's difficult to work with.
Could be.
You know, it could be the fact that she's a woman and she actually knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And politics has, for the longest time, been pretty much
a boys club. Yeah.
Well, and that was something else, too. You remember Cheryl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our old boss, Cheryl Berman, she is one hell of a pit bull. You piss her off, you don't do your job, somebody drops the ball on something, she's going to get you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to make you do your fucking job. You ain't going to like it at that point, but for me, since I started there, she was the one who hired me.
Mm-hmm.
And she always demanded that I push a little harder. I fucking love that lady. Because when it came time that I needed her to back me up, she backed me up because she knew I did my job.
Yeah.
All the people who just kind of, fucked off, well, they don't work there anymore. And it's like, I kind of respect that powerful woman position to where they know how to get shit done. I can respect that and I can follow that. My biggest problem is I don't know that the rest of the U.S. is ready to have a bulldog of a woman president.
I agree with that. But for me, it's like, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, gay, straight, black, white, what have you.
Right.
It comes down to what kind of person you are, what kind of job you do.
Thank you.
I base... My thoughts and feelings on a person is always based on how they act. Do they back up what they're going to say? Do they come through? Because those are the people that when the chips are down, those are the people I back.
Exactly.
Because they've proven themselves.
Yeah.
I know they can do the job.
That's why I won't back Bryce on anything because he drops the ball constantly.
All the time. I worked with this guy. You're telling me? This fucking
He
guy.
Spends too much time with his locker room talk, and it's just...
It distracts him. He cannot focus on the important issues doing
that
the locker room
talk.
That and
the toupee, man. When are you going to get rid of that, Rob?
Dude, just shave it, bro. Just go bald. It's okay. With your Slayer shirt and a shaved head? Oh, okay, never mind. I see why you don't do that.
I had no idea his head was so misshapen.
Damn it.
Have you... Never mind. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to leave that.
Which means it was a really good one.
Right, right. It's all right. I can't
You would
really...
have decimated us both with one bullet.
Okay, yep. The thing about it is, I can't give you shit about your Slayer shirt. I mean, yeah. Shaved head on me wouldn't do well either.
Let's face it, none of us in this room would look good completely bald.
Just doing the cue ball.
A, we're all white. And that pretty much says
that
it all.
Usually
that's the only prerequisite that you need.
No more. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be an interesting... God, we're less than a month now.
Yep.
Yay. Happy birthday.
Can't wait till it's over.
I think we're going to... The three of us, and maybe if we can manage to get Jim on, the four of us will need to reconvene after the election and kind of have a post-campaign... breakdown.
Cry session?
We will all cry. If the worst happens, we'll get together and we'll bring all of our resources together and plan a survival for the apocalypse.
Yeah. Canada.
Except for Canada.
There won't be a Canada.
No, I know.
There won't be anything. First place he'll probably strike is Canada.
I don't know, man. If he builds that wall on funny. Mexico, Mexico's looking pretty good.
They look funny.
Yeah, we'll keep America out.
Yeah, right? Right?
We could make Mexico great again.
Right? Just go down there. It's like, bro, we got a podcast. I hate that
slogan so much.
What?
Make America great again.
Right? Because
it's so fucking redundantly stupid.
It's an asinine statement. Yeah. Really.
It's not as good as make Donald Trump again.
Yeah, I love that one.
Donald Trump again?
Yep.
No, that's a good idea. We could go to Mexico. We could be the first podcast in Mexico.
Right? I'm just saying.
I'm assuming that they don't have podcasts.
Hey, at least I'll be around, you know, beer's the people good. Who are with me. The technology, you know, being kind of suppressed, I'd probably do pretty well there.
Yeah.
The beer's You'll good. Thrive. Tacos are great.
Right? Cheap. Who doesn't love fucking tacos?
And, okay. Come on, donkey shows every night?
That's hot.
We are not bringing Paris Hilton. Unless she's the donkey.
She probably
unless
already she's in the there. Show. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
We can make Mexico ours again. Or just ours.
We'll just be Mexicans.
You go sit in the shame corner for that.
Hey, I'm part Mexican, so y'all can eat. I can be as horribly
make Mexico dance again.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. I just did the ancestry test to find out my DNA, my heritage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm anxious to find out. That'll probably be coming in about 6 weeks. I should be able to find out where
I'm
from.
Did you save all your cereal box tops for that?
No. They were the big box coupon off my applesauce packages.
Ooh.
Telling you. That's where it's at.
I've been saving them off my Lunchables.
Nice. Yeah.
Fucking, I love Lunchables.
Dude, they're pretty legit.
They're fucking awesome.
My wife bought me one the other day.
Dude, I still eat kid shit all the time.
Right? And it's like, my lunch is one of those big go-gurt,
quote-unquote, kids' food you ate.
Oh, fuck. Probably Lunchable. It's been a while, though.
Dan?
Dino-shaped chicken nuggets.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, high five, dude. Yeah!
Yeah.
I had Star Wars cereal the other day.
Oh, I got a bunch of Star Wars cereal.
It was so good. It was like...
It's
marshmallow R2-D2s like and Lucky BB-8s. Yeah.
It's funny, too, because it's like the wife only ever wants the dino-shaped chicken nuggets because I brought those home one night. She was like, oh, I want some chicken nuggets. I was like, fuck it. Went dino-shaped.
Yeah.
I set them up on there, made a couple of them look like they were fighting before I stuck it in. It's like, dude, and that's the thing. Like, my lunch when I go to work is a banana. It's one of those Go-Gurt larger size ones. The applesauce that's in the packet, that little screw top, and a V8. And it's like, dude, I wish I had this lunch when I was a kid.
That's when he looks across, trade you Go-Gurt for that pudding pack.
Right, right. No, my wife bought me a Lunchable like 2-3 weeks ago or something like that. And I was sitting in the car and I was eating it. And it was like the first time I had had a Lunchable in maybe 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
And so I called my mom up. I was like, now this is what I remember all the rich kids eating. I got stuck with homemade PB&J.
Yeah, that's the worst.
On a white bread.
Bologna sandwiches.
By the time.
Bologna fucking sandwiches. I can't even smell bologna without gagging. Ugh.
You mean you don't like the leftover meat?
Bologna is like the nastiest meat. It tastes like paste. Like pasty meat.
I guess I need to return that bologna flavored toothpaste I was going to get you for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, just send that shit right back.
Regift.
Dan, we had you on the show because I wanted to get away from the political shit because I am inundated
with it.
I know.
I got to tell you, 35
minutes in.
I got to tell you, you're really dropping the ball on
I
that one.
I really am. I'm inundated with it. I live it 24/7.
Right, right. Just
and I know you can't get away from it because it's on everyone's mind.
Right.
But I am just sick to death of it.
So why don't you tell us?
I don't know if I'm going to make it to the 7th without eating several bullets. Just because I'm so... But I brought you on because I wanted to kind of switch gears and talk about something rather normal. And that was being artiste. And what it
get your pinky out.
Pinky out.
Yeah.
Have my tea.
Yeah.
What the process is and what it is you're going through with your band as a layman trying to put together a song that people can listen to and not gag.
You know, it's funny, too, because for many years when I first started playing, I couldn't come up with a riff that was my own to save my fucking life. I could play dozens of other songs and, you know, that's all I could do. I came to realize about 5-6 years ago that I knew the style of music that I liked and what I liked to hear, mm-hmm. you know. And for me, I like the sinister sound. I like that half-note darkness sound that comes out of instruments of any kind. And so I just started finding how to make those transitions. It's like, okay, so if I come up with a riff, it's like, well, if I'm staying too much on the major chords, it sounds a little too happy. So let's drop that fucker into a minor and see what we can do with it. And I recently, what I've been doing is I'll just go home and I'll just pick up my guitar and I'll just start playing our shit over and over again. And once I'm done going through our set and I feel rather confident with it, I'll think of a new riff. I'll think of the mood I'm in. I'll think of the mindset I'm in. And honestly, recently, being dark and gloomy has been rather easy with the impending apocalypse and, you know, all the other things that are going on. But it's one of those things where I just kind of feel the mood I'm in, and it's like I play riffs that I think would make me happy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird. I find happiness in the darkness of music. It's wonderful. And it's like,
I think a lot of, not just musicians, but a lot of artists find almost glory in darker parts of humanity. I mean, if you just take poetry, some of the best poetry is some of the darkest shit ever written.
Oh, yeah.
You take classical music, some of the best, most famous classical music is really fucking dark.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing I find about it. Honestly, that's why I really appreciated all the black metal that you kind of introduced me to. Because soon as you got me on that, I went right down the fucking rabbit hole.
Oh, I knew you would.
Been listening to Burzum, Mayhem, all the old school Darkthorn, and it's like, I've been listening to them and enjoying what I can from it. Now, mind you, you know, when I sit back as a critique of the style, the vocal stylings bother me sometimes, and the repetitive nature of their chord progressions kind of bother me sometimes. But honestly, when I listen to it, now having an understanding of their mindset of what they were going through, it has a lot more gravity. You know, it's kind of like punk music. If it's like, if you have a punk band that comes out of a country like Switzerland, whose government's really good, you know, their society's really good, their economy's really good, everything's great, you're going to listen to that punk band from them and go, are you high or just stupid? But when you're coming from somewhere that's, you know, you got problems with the establishment, you got problems with your government, punk music has more gravity, it has more strength. Mm-hmm. And you can feel the emotion in the music directly. With black metal, they were just pissed off at Christianity for destroying their heritage. They don't hate God so much as they just hate Christianity as the people who have practiced it.
Just depends who you listen to.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like 90% of the black metal that I've listened to from the older times genuinely don't believe in Satan.
Older times, like, you know, the Dark Ages.
Right, yeah. The 90s. No, the thing
which
about,
could be considered the Dark Ages.
Right.
I'd say the 80s were more the Dark Ages.
See, I have to disagree with that.
We got Reaganomics out of the 80s, so just throwing that out there.
But at the same time, it was
But musically, there was a lot of really good shit that came out of the
80s. I will give you that.
Oh, yeah.
Slayer, Metallica.
Right. Well, not just that. Metallica. I mean, it's just so many good bands came up out of the 80s that are ignored, or a lot of people would say better left forgotten, because not because of the music, but because of how they chose to present themselves.
Yeah.
The big hair and makeup.
Oh, yeah, Poison.
There's a lot of great hair metal bands that are overlooked because they were hair metal bands.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's... I really
look at Pantera. When they started out, they were a hair metal band. And the first four albums they dropped was all hair metal. And then they were like, fuck it, we're just going to switch up and be
I will even argue that
from hell.
Since you mentioned that, I would argue that Poison's one of the better hair metal bands. But because they are Poison, people go,
nah.
But if you listen to their music, you had some damn fine musicians in that band. I mean, those guys really know how to put together good songs.
It's kind of like what old Bobby Darin said. People see what they hear.
Yeah.
So it's like if you come up on stage dressed up in a nice suit, in his case, you know, and you try to sing these political songs, people will actually get behind you. You come up dressed up like a hippie talking about political songs, they're like, eat shit, you dirty hippie, cut your hair and get a job. You know, and that's the thing. People perceive that on a level. So it's like with black metal, with the corpse paint and the spikes and the metal and all that shit, it suits their brand. It suits their style. It suits their way of being. And it was, again, an understanding of the emotion that went into it. So it's like when I come up with a riff, it comes from a point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, the first song that I ever wrote was Demons in Dirt and Sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it because I was watching the Ken Burns documentary on the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
And I was understanding this nature of, you know, what they were going through and how horrendous this time period was. And I just thought of the idea of thinking of the dust storms as an actual entity, a monster, a creature that just roamed and devastated all. And it was like that kind of put me in a mindset of that depressed fear of nature. And then I just started writing the song.
See, in that way you sound to me like a writer in the same way that James Hetfield used to write.
Yeah, like with One.
Well, John One, got his gun, Call of the Cthulhu. A lot of the songs from the first four Metallica albums were written from either books he'd read or news stories that were happening at the time.
Yeah.
Like things that affected him or he thought about, you know?
Gave him a profound kind of thought process that just kind of tailed him into an emotional response that he just put into music.
Now, in this day and age where it's so easy now for a musician to get what he needs and record, it's so easy to record a song now. All you need is a computer, basically. Do you find that it's easier or more difficult for you and your band to put... I know what you guys are going through as far as putting together our what would essentially product. Be an album. Yeah.
My biggest thing is actually I was talking to the boys about this. You know, it's like I got my laptop and my sound set up at home now to where when I come up with a riff, I can just record it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, it's like, you know, I can sequence drums. I can write bullshit lyrics or I can write okay lyrics. I can write a bass line like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, though.
Yeah.
Because my input on the song is what I'm able to bring to the group. So it's like with Demons in Dirt and Sand. I brought the rough copy of the lyrics to Steve, and I was like, dude, have a look at this, see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing the riff one day, and we actually have video of it up on YouTube right now, where I just told Steve, I was like, you need to record this. It's black. You know, I can't see much of anything because the lighting was terrible. But I was like, I need the audio for this because this is the riff I want to go for that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with it, and I started working on it a little bit, and it sounds completely different now than it did when I first came up with it. But the reason it's changed and moved into such a way that I'm comfortable with is because Sean put his input. You know, Dan added his bits to it. Steve tweaked the lyrics and made it his, you know. I didn't give him a way to sing it. I just gave him the lyrics. I just said, here it is.
Yeah.
And I like that interaction because between the four of us, we all come up with something that's completely different than what I initially thought, but still on the same page.
Mm.
And, you know, all the songs we've written have usually either stemmed out of my riff, Steve's lyrics, Sean's drums, Dan's bass. We always kind of piece it together. I'll start playing a stupid riff. Sean will start tapping along to it, Dan will chime in with something, and Steve, if he has one of his pages open to the right section, because he has like five or six notebooks just loaded with lyrics, he'll just open it up, find one he's wanted to work on, and start trying to belt it out over the top of this riff I'm running, and we'll build something out of that. And I prefer doing it that way, because again, yeah, I could sit at home and I could write an entire song by myself. I have the knowledge, I have the capacity, and I have the technology to make it happen. That's not what I want to produce, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Trent Reznor. I don't want to make all of my music by myself and then hire musicians who I don't really care about. I don't want to go that route because, honestly, I love their input. Because, like, Sean's drumming style, he is not a speed metal drummer. He is not a death metal drummer. He is a good rock drummer. And he also has kind of a... I don't even know what to really call it, but it's like a California style relaxed rhythm, you know. to where he has a great way of breaking off the beats and adding nice flares to sections.
He's a versatile drummer.
Yeah, but he's not, you know, double kick to death, you know.
See, a good drummer, and having heard Sean play and seeing him play, I think he's what I would consider a good drummer in the fact that he's not sold on one style.
Yeah.
He's versatile. He can play a lot of different styles and be very competent in.
Aye.
And having seen you guys and having heard you guys play, I think you have a very good dynamic. But especially for you guys and for a lot of young musicians, and Bryce, you can attest to this too, because I think you've recorded with some of the bands you've played with,
yeah.
Is how easy it is to record now in this day and age and get something that sounds as good as something that a international band like Metallica would put out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want to talk about, is how easy it is now to put together something and your learning process to get to that point, as opposed to even 20 years ago where you had to come up with the money, book studio time, make sure everyone could be there in the studio and put together something. Now all you need is a computer and
a
setup not unlike what we're using here to record a pretty decent sounding album.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I
and then marketing in on places like YouTube or your own website and getting the word out there through Facebook and Twitter and that. I think music is progressing to that way, to that point where everyone is self-producing and marketing, and the need for record companies is going away, and you can see the panic in the record companies and how they do business. Because when was the last time anyone in this room bought a CD? Like an actual CD?
Been a while.
That silence says it all.
2 years.
Can
I
you
say.
Can't hear?
But it wasn't. A
how
new
about
album.
This? Can you remember the last CD you bought?
For me or for someone else?
Just bought.
No.
I can't.
No, you can't remember. No, you don't want to.
I can't remember.
I don't want to admit that I bought that Britney Spears.
Shh. Shut up, dude.
And it was for myself.
Hit me, baby. One
I can tell
time.
You exactly. You can
do it.
No. I can tell you the album. And the band I bought, it was Lacuna Coil's Karma, not Karma Code. It's the one after Karma Code, which I'm totally blanking on now.
Jeez.
This silence brought to you by Fail.
I know, I suck so bad. It was Lacuna Coil, though.
And the last CD I remember buying, I bought two of them. I went
the
to
Wiggles.
Record exchange. I did.
Wiggle.
No, the last two albums I bought, I went to CD Record Exchange because I was off early and bored and I wanted to find new music. And I found Dimmu Borgir's For All Tid and Stormblast, the original Stormblast. And so I picked those up for like $2 a piece, popped them in my car, and it was during summer. And I got to be honest with you, it was kind of nice to listen to it when it was super fucking hot out, because looking on the album on the back, they're like standing in snow and shit. I was like... Oh, that's refreshing. but that was the last two albums I bought. That was the last CDs I bought. Because I bought many, many albums off, like, iTunes. But it's one of those things, I'm excited and it's slightly depressing at the same time. Because it's exciting that people can self-produce so much to where we get new music all the time.
Yes.
We get thousands of people that probably would have ever gone unnoticed had the system been the old way. Got a lot of YouTube channels of people I watch who are just musicians, who just play, and that's all they do, and they get millions of hits. And it's really great in that respect. The downside to it is, for me, I'm in a band, and I want that band to succeed, and I want to strive to make those live shows the size that Metallica has had, you know, the big boy league, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I see the opportunity for doing that dwindling very fast.
The market's so saturated with so many people.
And that's the thing. It's super saturated, which is great for people who just want to listen. But for the people creating it, it ends up being kind of a double negative. You know, it's like...
In a lot of ways, it's almost reverting to like the 1950s bands who would play one song and then the next band. They would basically get... studio musicians, and then one artist would come on, sing their song, and you go to a concert as a teenager and you're seeing 50 different people. it's kind of what it's becoming now, and it may get to the point where these live shows are just all these YouTube sensations playing live with yeah. studio musicians. However, on the flip side of that, you're also...
Did you see the video of the guy who made the, 3,000 People Chorus?
I think so, yeah.
He was in a TED Talks. I saw his video, and basically what he had done was he wrote this song in choral music and sent it out there and said, if you want to sing in this choir, you know, record yourself singing your bit, and I will put it into a video. And so they mixed it down, and the first video, I think, was only like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And he... You know, went through the selection process of the soloist and things like that just the same. None of these people had met, but then he compiled the video, and it's a beautiful song of 1,000 people from all across the world singing in one voice. And then he did an even bigger one, and it ended up being something like 30,000 voices mm-hmm. singing all at once. And they only managed to get like the first 2 minutes of it done because audio mixing is a nightmare with 30,000 yeah. people. But they got the first 2 minutes of it done, and it was amazing to hear. That's the really great part about it. I love music for the respects that whenever it comes together, something wonderful happens. Whether it brings people together, or it gives them a new perspective, it gives them a different outlook on life, or makes them consider something they never even thought of before. Mm-hmm. I love that about music. Music has that power. And with the internet's availability and like, the shareability of all of these different musicians who, like I said, would have never gotten discovered, it's an amazing thing that's happening for music. It just makes the work for bands who actually want to be live show performing, album producing, selling, not have to work a normal fucking job anymore, really difficult. So it's kind of like, I gain hope from the smaller bands that I follow that are actually doing rather well. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is a terrible example because they've been kind of established for a while, but Lordi.
Yeah.
Lordi is still one of my favorite bands out there. I love their sound. I love their style. I love everything about them. And they're relatively unknown over here. I mean, they have a following of people who know, but it's not nearly as big as Metallica. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for them because at the same time, I know they have the music to be that popular. I know they have the show to be as enjoyable as like Alice Cooper, but with the availability of everything, it's kind of flooded them down.
Here's the problem with that, and with the metal community at large, and that is that America's very music snobbish.
Oh yeah.
whereas in the rest of the world, all styles of music are embraced, mm-hmm. but in America, it goes in cycles. I think right now, pop music is always popular, hence the reason pop music.
Right.
But that's never really gone away.
Right.
What happens though in pop music is essentially crossover. Mm-hmm. In the 80s, it was largely metal influenced. Hair bands were a big thing, so they crossed over into pop radio. Right. What makes it as far as music is what can be played on pop radio stations. Mm-hmm. You don't hear Metallica on a pop station, so, you know,
unless it's Hero of the Day or something.
Yeah. It's very difficult for metal bands to succeed in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
I always told them, I'll move to Japan.
There are great
love me over there.
Middle of the road bands that haven't been very popular in America. For example, the band Toto. It's been around 40 years,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah. Africa!
American band, barely recognized in America. It's only been in the last 10 years that they've been tours America fairly significant. Kiss, of course.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah has been doing a lot of touring in the States because, I mean, it's Vinnie Paul and...
Mm-hmm.
It's I love Hell yeah, too. They're a badass band. But they've been touring with In This Moment for... The last
In This
year.
Moment is a great fucking metal band.
And that's the thing. It's like, I love those guys, but I gotta be honest. I would have never known In This Moment existed had I not just been surfing YouTube one day.
I never would have known if it wasn't for Rock Band.
Was there a song on Rock Band?
Yeah.
Which one?
I
could rattle them off.
I could totally think of it, but...
Adrenaline, it's Whore, Gun Show...
It wasn't Whore. I love Whore. That's a great song. That video is awesome. No, I think
just
it was
guy talk.
I think it was Locker. From their Locker second album. I just can't think of it. It was the same album.
Forever.
Forever. That's the one.
Dude, I listened to all of their shit. It's like as soon as I found them, I was like, I fucking love these guys.
I never would have heard of Dragon Force if it wasn't for
a video or a short little video on Imgur, whatever it is, of the lead singer just kind of doing this, you know, just kind of locking it up, and she goes, "This is how I prepare for metal." I was like, "That's legit. Who the fuck is that?" And she was like, "Oh, I guess it's baby metal from the comments below." And so we were like, "Fuck it, let's look it up." So we looked it up, and the first video we saw was "Gimme Chocolate." I was like, "Oh,
that's adorable.
I love this shit." And at first, I was kind of butthurt because honestly, I fell into the groove. Because
you wrote that song and you got no credit for it.
Right? Absolutely zero credit. No, I got.
Those damn Girl Scouts came in, kicked me in the balls, and took it.
Fucking little bitches. No.
Thought they were selling cookies. They were here to steal my lyrics. Fucker. Bitch.
My biggest thing about it was, though, is like when I first watched them, I was very. I hadn't quite. So at first, it was kind of like they've ruined my metal. They have taken all that I love and destroyed it. And my wife wanted to buy
single
the song,
tier
so right, yeah, exactly. That was the thing. Just that single
tier. Stood on the side of the road with a loincloth.
And that's the thing. It was like she bought "Gimme Chocolate" and then "Megatsune" and "Rondo for a Nightmare," and they were on my iPod by default because we share the same account. And so I was at work and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna try these songs again." So I listened to them again, and the more I listened to "Gimme Chocolate," I was like, "Okay, this is actually pretty fucking catchy." And then I heard Megatsune, and I was like...
Better. They're making it more accessible. So maybe metal can rise again.
Uh-huh.
You know? If we keep stagnating with the same shit...
It's never going to change, and
it's
gonna go
going
right
to
die. Shovel. Yeah.
You know? Music has to evolve.
Uh-huh.
You know? If music had stayed the same as it was... If Nirvana, as much as I despise Nirvana, if they hadn't come around when they did... Music, the
wouldn't be
metal
the same.
Music would have stagnated and died.
See, and that's how I feel about the Beatles. I genuinely dislike the Beatles' music, but
thank you.
I respect
them. I'm not a fan
them.
Of the Beatles either,
yeah,
but
like
you
them.
Gotta respect
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I
no,
respect
I,
them
I respect
a lot.
It's the same. Like I don't like Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, fair enough, man. And
but
honestly,
I respect the influence that they had on lots of other artists.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, for me, even when there's a band like that where I don't genuinely like their style, their music styling. Most of the time, I can find one song that I can listen to and not cringe.
See, speaking of Guns N' Roses, when Guns N' Roses came out, it was kind of a breath of fresh air because they were heavy for that time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we had
White
Poison,
metal.
Def Leppard,
yeah.
Whitesnake, bands like that. And it was good music, but it was like...
They still had the
I
hair,
just,
but
I,
not the rest.
I wanted something... heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
You wanted that
I hadn't discovered Metallica at that point.
Goblin, or Necrogoblicon, or something like that.
I read that book.
No, it was... It took me by surprise, because I was flipping through
goblin
my videos
blood,
again.
Bound in goblin skin.
They actually have a guy who dresses up like a full-bodied goblin, wearing a business shirt with a tie with a big old hunchback. The prosthetics are impressive, but the band actually has
so he
some
ripped
hilarious
that off from,
videos.
They ripped that off from Mortis?
Probably.
Yeah.
And that's the
Which,
thing,
by
though,
the way, if you haven't listened to Mortis,
they're pretty
you
good.
Should check that
yeah.
out.
And that's the thing, though. It's like...
It's like if Nine Inch Nails were good.
I will concede that old Trent Reznor has definitely lost his step long time.
I'd say the first two Nine Inch Nails albums are pretty legit.
Yeah.
After that, they can suck it back.
Just the
two
inches. Just
buried. But that's the thing. I love
Terrible
the
Lie,
style.
Pretty Hate Machine.
Yeah?
The fucking album's fucking solid all the way through. And even Downward Spiral.
Yeah, Downward Spiral.
Downward
was
Spiral, you can start hearing the Downward
Further
Spiral.
Further Down the Spiral was really terrible. But it's just, you know, I love music for
but
what
you don't
it
get
is.
If you don't have Nine Inch Nails, you don't get Marilyn Manson.
Absolutely.
You know? And Marilyn
and
Manson's first few albums, pretty solid.
Die.
When he started doing that hip-hop thing, it...
And that's the thing, too. It's like, since I grew up in that time period, it's like, I was introduced to Marilyn Manson when, you know, he did the cover of Sweet Dreams. And
that's when I was introduced
yeah,
to
Yeah, and so it's like, but
that's
as I grew up...
That's a fucking legitimate cover, too.
Oh, it's great. But it's like, as I grew up, I changed kind of alongside.
Yeah.
So when he was doing Mob Scene, I fucking love that song. It's got a great punch to it. It's a great energy
song. See, for
song.
Me, that was the last great Manson album was that album with
Mobb Scene. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, I remember it.
When he started, like, when he started getting really experimentative with the sound and stuff.
Yeah, then he started kind of
And as much as I love Tim Skold and followed his career from Shotgun Messiah all the way through, him joining Manson was probably the worst thing he did, because it did kind of take Manson down a road that I think kind of chipped away at what he'd been doing up till then.
I never got into your trendy music.
Dude, I think you'd legitimately like Skold's first album. You'd probably like some of the second Shotgun, or the third. You'd probably dig on the third Shotgun Messiah album. Shotgun Messiah, again, another fucking album. Yeah.
Golden Age of Grotesque. That was his last.
I would agree with that.
Because at that rate, we had Hollywood before that, and then it was...
Hollywood's pretty goddamn good.
Yes, and then Mechanical Animal, I loved.
Oh, Mechanical Animal.
And it's like Portrait of an American Family. That was another great one. But
you know,
that,
his albums before Portrait of an American Family, kind of shitty.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
And like, he had that golden peak period.
Superstar. But again, I like evolving with bands.
Yeah.
And that's why I've never given Metallica as hard a time as I've heard others give them. It's like, because when I was at that age where I started listening to Metallica, that was right when Load had already come out and Reload was coming out, so mm-hmm. Unforgiven 2 was a new song, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And The Memory Remains is great all the way up until the last 20 seconds.
See, a lot of people give Metallica sucks, shit for Load and Reload.
I love them too.
I think they were solid albums.
King Nothing. I mean, dude, there was a lot of great fucking songs on there. And I like evolving with bands, but at the same time, I feel like there is a point where they lose their step. Like, Saint Anger was Metallica's lost step.
Exactly. There's people...
Sobriety did not agree with them.
Right?
No, see,
Sobriety and banana stickers.
Yeah. See, I just think... And people love... They hold up Saint Anger as like, oh, it's a return to Metallica, but it really wasn't.
Oh, God, it was the descent. It was their falling.
It was that one. I forget what the one after that was.
Death Magnetic.
Yeah. Those two albums for me.
See, I love Death Magnetic.
See, I've never gotten to listen to it, so I've never had an opinion on it. I've heard the songs.
If I can find the CD, I'll let you borrow it. I don't know where it's at, but I'll try and find it.
See, for me, it wasn't about... It was about the songwriting. It's just... It was like... To me, it felt like they were phoning
it. It's a different band.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this new album. The couple of songs I've heard sound...
Like Death Magnetic.
No, actually, it sounds like Master of Puppets.
And I would agree that it sounded a lot more musically styled towards Injustice for All.
Yeah, that era between the two.
That space Garage right there. Days. It feels a lot better as far as their sound is concerned. However, I will say that there is an issue that was brought up to me that I never even really thought about until I heard someone else say it. But it was the song Hardwired. And they were
talking. I really like that song.
I like the song, and I don't mind James' style of vocals that he's coming to, because he's starting to kind of bring it back as opposed to where he was. I like the song, but I heard someone say it's like, how could they possibly write a song called, you know, we're so fucked, shit out of luck, hardwired to self-destruct? It's like, James, you're doing really well in your life, and I'm pretty sure you're not drinking nearly as hard as you was. So how could you say
but he could be pulling off of that.
And that's the thing.
Well, it could be that, but see, that's not what I take from it. I don't take it as this is me talking about, you know, my alcoholism.
Or just in general.
I think he's talking about the election.
We got a new surge.
As a species.
And we're back.
See, I think he's talking about humanity as a whole, as a species.
We are
hardwired to self-destruct, whether it be through individual behavior, drinking, alcoholism, or people as a whole, and war and politics. And
I agree with that.
That's where I take it from. That's what I take from the song. Right. And that's one of the beautiful things about music, is all three of us could listen to the same song and take completely different things from it.
All right. Unless it was a NoFX song, in which case it's pretty self-explanatory.
We were going great. Just fucking great.
Driving that bus full of kids and
dancing. Let's go off the cliff.
Yep.
Fucking asshole.
That's how it works, man.
Right into the ocean.
And on that note, I think we should wrap this shit up. Fine. Dan, thank you so much for coming in.
Always glad to be here.
Since we called you like last minute and said, dude, You doing anything Friday?
Right. No, I'm just working, you know. It's
cool. I mean, we called you at like 12:55 this morning. Said, hey.
Get your ass over here.
It's fortunate that, you know, I just didn't have any fucking thing better to do.
Figured which is fine. What every guest says when I they know, call right?
I learned from the best.
We're the pity fuck of a podcast. Right?
We are last call in podcast world. When you're just so drunk, you can barely stand, can't see straight, and then you wake up in the morning and this is what you get.
Winner's out. Yep, yep.
we are beer goggles is what we are. no, seriously, dude, it's great to have you back in.
Always happy to be here.
We will have to do this more often. Any last words over there, Bryce? Any insults you want to throw our way?
Shut up, Bryce. He forgot what it's like to work
this
with me.
This just in. Portland man found in ditch.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.